Welcome to the ministry of Gene Fraser. We trust that the word you're about to hear will have a transforming effect on your life. Now, here's Gene with today's message.
First Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse 3 and 5. 3 through 5. For this is the will of God. Did I just not ask you who wanted to do the will of God? We all raised our hand. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. We know God. If you know God, this is what we want to do. We want to do the will of God. And this is the will of God. It's our sanctification. Praise God. It's our sanctification. In the Amplified, I want to read it. For this is the will of God. And see, so many times people, you know, they're like, oh, you know, show me your will, Lord. Show me your way. I'll go with you. I'll obey. You know, just show me your will, you know. And his word, here's part of his will right here, our sanctification. And just like I said before, sometimes we just kind of don't want to really deal with that part of it. You know, we want to deal with the part like, yeah, I'm called to be an evangelist. I'm called to be a missionary. I'm called to preach to the world. I'm called, you know, right? And that's all part of the will of God and the call of God on our lives. But it's just sometimes he wants to bring us back and your sanctification. That's included in the will of God. And what I love about the word of God, when it speaks to me about the will of God, it carries the power of God. It's not like he says, yeah, your sanctification. Okay, now go do it all on your own. In this world, now more than ever, that is absolutely impossible without the help of the Holy Spirit, without knowing some scriptures and believing some things that we're going to get into tonight. So I'm here to help you by the help of the Holy Ghost, because you want to fulfill his will, don't you? Part of that is our sanctification. So in the Amplified, for this is the will of God, that you should be consecrated, separated, and set apart for pure and holy living. Did you see that? Set apart. We're not to be a part of this world. We're in this world, the Bible says, but we are not of it. So we ought not be fellowshipping with it. We are set apart. We're a holy people. A holy people don't belong hanging around unholy people, church. That you should abstain and shrink from all sexual vice, that each one of you should know how to possess, control, manage his own body in consecration, purity, separated from things profane. And that includes even watching things. Sometimes we might be like, well, I'm set apart from it. I'm not doing this or that, but are we watching it, you know? And again, God's just, he's just endeavoring for us to keep growing up. He wants us to grow up and he wants us to keep maturing. And so sometimes there's things that as we grow as Christians, there are things for us to lay aside. That's just what the Bible's filled with. 2 Corinthians, we're going to go there. Chapter 7, verse 1 in the Amplified. Therefore, since these great promises are ours, beloved, we're his beloved. Who's he speaking to? His beloved. Let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates and defiles body and spirit, and bring our consecration to completeness in the reverential fear of God. I love that. Bring our consecration to completeness. God has started and began a good work in you and me, and glory to God, he wants to finish it too. But a lot of it requires the obedience, the willingness of me and you. And sometimes we just gotta, Lord, help me be willing. I mean, we need help to even be willing to do this word of God. Amen. And look at that. It says, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. It doesn't say, let God clean you up. It says, let us cleanse ourselves. Wow. From everything that contaminates and defiles body and spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it talks about sanctifying us completely. So spirit, soul, and body. So let's just talk about it a minute. When you were born again, we were given a brand new heart. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. God gave us, he didn't give us a new body. He didn't give us a new soul. We got a new heart, a brand new spirit, glory to God. So he gave us a brand new spirit, but then in the Bible it talks about that we're supposed to be going on to the saving of our soul. You're like, wait a minute, no, I am saved. Your spirit was saved, but we're to go on to the saving of our soul. That's that part of us, that's our mind, our will, our emotions. Those are things that we're to go on to the saving of our soul. And then our body, that's not until we leave this earth, that's going to be made whole. But, you know, I love in Daniel, let's turn there. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Now listen, this doesn't come automatically. There is a determination, and I believe tonight the Spirit of God is wanting to just get a determination on the inside of us for the sanctification of us. Because if we're just going to keep going, just same old, and just kind of go with the flow and just kind of keep doing what we're doing and thinking, oh, this is really no big deal. God knows my heart. He knows I love them or whatever. No, we need to get a determination, a fight in us. I am going to fulfill the will of God. And part of that will of God for me is my sanctification. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor the wine which he drank. And so it goes on. But he purposed in his heart. I underline that in my Bible. He purposed in his heart. It didn't come automatically. Guys, we've got to purpose this in our heart. God is wanting us to purpose in our heart to fulfill the will of God, which is our sanctification. It's our consecration to God. It is purity. It is being set apart for God. Not molding in with the world, but setting ourselves apart. We are a holy people. We belong to a holy God. We are the house of a holy God. Amen. He wants himself to be set apart. But what we read before, remember in 2 Corinthians 7, it told that we have a part to play in this. Remember, it said, let us cleanse ourselves. We have a part to play in that. How are we going to cleanse ourselves? Not apart from God. What it's meaning there is just be willing. What is that? That laying our life down, that suffering in the flesh. Who knows? The flesh is against God. The flesh wants what the flesh wants, and it's not God. So there's a determination for this sanctification that I believe the Spirit of God is calling out for us to take a hold of tonight. He wants you and me to be determined to be free. And some people, sometimes you see them, they're so bound in their iniquity. They're so bound in their sin. Things have become such a habit. They've made such excuses for it that in their mind, and I believe there might be some in here tonight, that in our mind we have justified it, that it's okay. God knows my heart. It's okay. God understands. Or it's okay. Look, I'm still breathing air. God still loves me. He even still uses me. But yet you know you're not living that sanctified life that he's called you to live. And so he's wanting to get this determination in us tonight. This is not condemnation. You know what condemnation is? If someone's out there thinking, well, you're just condemning me. No, condemnation is just an unwillingness to change. We're just given the word tonight. And again, there's such hope in this because I know, first of all, I know if God put this in our heart to share this tonight, I know that there's a reason. And also I know comes the power through the words spoken to take a hold and to do the very thing that we are being told. So Daniel purposed in his heart to be set apart. He purposed in his heart to be set apart. He wasn't concerned what his friends were going to think. He wasn't concerned what people were going to think. Oh, well, if I don't drink or if I don't eat this, what are they going to think? You know, guys, it's like we want to be more concerned about offending God rather than offending our family or our friends. We must understand if you're in a situation and something's calling for you to compromise your conviction, go with your conviction. Because we don't want to offend God for the sake of not offending man. Amen. And sometimes you think, well, they're just not going to understand. Well, and God does. Well, no, God does understand. And he knows he's convicting you, and he knows the power of God is available to you to not do that, to not commit to that, to not give in to that. People think, oh, I got to fit in. You know, I got to save. I got to get my friends saved. You know, I got to stay fitting in. No, on the contrary, Jesus didn't try and fit in. He stood out. Jesus stood out, and some people, they hated him. And who were the ones that hated him? The religious ones. The sinners loved him. It was the religious people that hated him. Isn't that amazing? So, in the Amplified of Daniel 1:8, it says that he was determined in his heart. In the New Living Translation, it says he made up his mind. It's time for us to just make up our mind. And come on, I'm going to be candid with you tonight. There's been certain things in my life throughout the years that there were those moments and I said, I made up my mind. You know, I just was determined in my heart. That's it. That's the end. I've drawn the line. Can anybody relate? And then what happened? I messed up. And I thought, man, I can't do this. And I realize that's right, I can't. It's not time for us to give up. You got to get up. And that's what brings God such glory to your story, when you mess up, but you get up. So don't think I've tried so many times and I've messed up so many times, I can't do it. No, you can do it. By the power of God and the grace of God upon your life, you get that fight on the inside. You know we all fight for something. You'll fight for that parking lot spot. You'll fight for it. What not greater thing to fight for the will of God in our lives to be the sanctification to see. But see, it's just, what do you fight for something that you feel it's worth. And so sometimes, guys, we got to just take times out in life. Selah, sit down and listen to him. Lord, show me. Sometimes I get caught up in such carnality, but there is an eternity, and we're all going one day. We're not going to die. Our body will die, but us, the real us, spirits, we're going to either go to heaven or hell. No, we don't die. Our spirit man does not die. It just moves. So I don't know, I'm just reminding you tonight that there's going to be a day, one day, glory to God, be saved, be born again, continue to walk out your salvation. When your life on this earth comes to an end, we're going. And we're going to stand before him face to face, and we're going to give an account to him of our lives, what we did in and with our bodies too. So what an amazing thing that he gives us this word to help us prepare ourselves for that time. And wouldn't that just be like our Father God? He doesn't want us to fail. I mean, think about if you're a dad, you know, I mean, what do you, for your child? I mean, you want such the very best. I mean, you want them to have everything, the best. But what happens sometimes in order to help them to have the best, what happens? You have to discipline them too. But what is it? It's because of your love for them. You discipline them, right? Isn't that true? It's not because you're mad at them and you think they're a loser and they're never going to make it. No, it's because you know they can do it. Come on, that's how our Father God is. And he wants us to succeed. But I believe sometimes he looks and he sees there's a need. And tonight he's talking to us about sanctification. So we are his house, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, we're not going to turn there, but in that scripture it talks about that we are, in the Living Bible, it refers to that we're God's house. Everybody say, I'm God's house. If you're born again, you're God's house. I mean, think about that. God's house? Wow. That means like God lives in me, like God, creator of the universe, he lives in me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. God's presence is a treasure. What would you do? What do you do with a treasure? You have some things at the house, maybe some china from your great-great-grandmother or whatever. You've got treasures. What do you do with treasures? You take such good care of them. You protect them. You don't let anybody get near them that might break them or hurt them, right? Because it's a treasure. We have this treasure. God himself, the presence of God. When we're saved, we're born again, he comes and he lives on the inside of us. We have this treasure. He's a treasure. And so, see, and that's why part of his will is for us to have sanctification, because he lives in us. He doesn't want any part to do with that other stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let's pick it up in verse 15. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I shall be their God and they shall be my people. I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 in the Living Bible. And so he's asking a question here. So think about this. What union can there be between God's temple and idols? For you are God's temple, the home. Everybody say, I'm the home. The home of the living God. He's not dead on the inside of us. The living God. You are the home of the living God. For you are God's temple, the home of the living God. And God has said of you, I will live in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Glory to God. So he wants his sanctification. Why? He wants his house clean. Just like we do. But it's our responsibility to keep our house clean. But again, in and of ourselves, we cannot do that. We are absolutely incapable of doing that. That's why we must meditate and understand how we have God came up with such an amazing plan that when Jesus left, he gave gifts unto man, and he gave us the mighty Holy Spirit to live in us, to help us walk out this heavenly plan. And I just know that's such a part of God's heart tonight, getting up here and sharing, because I know on our flesh, and you know, this is not a very exciting message, but it really is to our spirit man. I want you to understand, to your spirit man, this is a very exciting message, because your spirit man knows how important this is. He wants his house to be clean. It's our responsibility. Everybody say, that's my responsibility. And yeah, that's right. It's absolutely our choice too. It's our choice. And that's why there needs to be the determination for the sanctification. Because who knows, in moments when we're kind of wishy-washy and who knows, sometimes, you know, you won't make the right choice. You won't follow the right voice. You'll follow the voice of the soul or the body. You won't follow the voice of the real you. So, glory to God. First, Psalm chapter 119, verse 9 in the NIV. How can a young man keep his way pure? Do we all want to know that? How can a young man, or we'll say an old man, a young woman, an old woman, how can they keep their way pure? By living according to your word. That's how we can keep our way pure. That's how we can fulfill the will of God for our life, which is sanctification. By living according to his word. There it is right there. These words are not just something that we're hearing tonight. These words are filled with the power to go out and do this thing tonight and tomorrow and the next day. Come on, do you feel a determination rising up? I declare it tonight that there is a determination rising up amongst this congregation to fulfill the will of God concerning their sanctification. in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In the Amplified, it says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed and keeping watch on himself according to your word, conforming his life to it. So tonight, I believe we're keeping watch on ourselves. The Holy Ghost is just, okay, keep watch on yourself, okay? Keep watch on yourself. Because if we don't keep watch on ourselves, we're going to be a mess. We'll just go the way of the world. It's the flow. Who knows? Living the Christian life, being Christ, you know, if we're Christians, that's like Christ. And I'm sorry, but I just really think that if we're going to call ourselves a Christian, people need to look at our life and it needs to look like Christ. We're Christians. We're like him. In Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it talks about, and be not conformed to this world. Remember we said we are in this world, but we are not of it. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the word of God. He's saying, don't be conformed. Be set apart. Don't fit in with the world. Be set apart from the world. You don't have to look like the world to win the world. Let's look like Jesus. Jesus looked like Jesus, and he's winning the world. In James chapter 1, verse 27, let's look at that. Pure and undefiled religion before God. Now, not before man. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I'm wanting to encourage you to continue on in your sanctification to God. And don't allow yourself to be spotted. Keep yourself unspotted. It doesn't say God's going to keep you unspotted. It says keep yourself. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's not God's job. And who knows? I mean, and I think sometimes it's hard because we're talking a lot about the parts of this walk of life that we're to do. It takes our work. And sometimes we've got messages. It's like, it's everything is God, you know, and it is, it's just two-sided. There's so many things that God does for us, but there's things that we are to do too. And we can't just keep trusting and believing God and this and that, and just continue to live an immoral and unholy and impure and unsanctified life and not understand why God failed you. He didn't fail you. You're failing him. We can do this. He's empowered us to do this. His words carry the very power to do it. But we're to be unspotted, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So what does that mean? I think about an illustration. Maybe there's a big puddle, you know, maybe like a little muddy area, you know, maybe not a puddle, maybe, you know, an inch of water, whatever, just a mess, muddy mess. Well, what happens? If I go, the closer I get to that, the more spotted I'm going to get if some kids are playing in that, right? The closer I am, the more spotted I'm going to become. But as I back away from that play, I can be seeing it, but I can be unspotted. We want to be unspotted. And the further we are away, it won't touch us. So we're in it. There's going to be things we're going to see, we're going to be subjected to. Would we rather not be subjected to it? Absolutely. But some things we are. Now, some things we can absolutely avoid and not be subjected to. So let's follow the convictions of our heart and know what to do and not to do and know when to make the left and know when to go straight. You know what I'm saying? You can avoid, but there's sometimes it's unavoidable. But we can still stay unspotted, set apart. Set apart. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, I want to read that in the Amplified. It says, so that he, meaning Jesus, so that he might sanctify her meaning the church, that's us, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Glory to God. You think cleansed, that's past tense. We've been cleansed. But there, when we were first born again, We were given a brand new heart. And what happened? All your sins were washed away in that moment. You were pure. You were spotless. You were blameless. You were brand spanking new. There wasn't a sin, a trespass on your list. Glory to God. But then what happens? We start to live. We miss it. We sin and we get dirty. But what happens then? Then we have 1 John 1:9. Says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you. Everybody say cleanse you. Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So that's once we're born again now, when we get dirty, when something happens, we get dirty, we confess it. We don't just push it to the side. We confess it. It's the confession that brings the cleansing. If you don't turn the faucet onto your shower, don't stand there and not understand, why isn't this dirt coming off of my body? You need the water. You need to turn on the water, the washing of the water. So the same with the word. We got to go to the word of God. Confess that as sin. And it's like a faucet just turns on and washes over us. We're cleansed, but now we need to continue to go and to continue to live this life of sanctification. So there's things to lay aside. So, you know, when you lay something aside, it doesn't mean like you're just going to, oh, I'm just going to place it right here. So it's still in my reach and I can pick it up anytime I want. Laying aside, what is that? To me, it's like it's going to lay aside, like put it out of your reach. So when you go to reach for it, you can't reach it, right? So he's talking about laying it aside, not just, you know, just place it down and see how you do. Lay it aside, get it away from you. Lay aside. James chapter 1. James 1:21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Sometimes I think, I'm not really hungry for the word of God. I kind of could care less. You know, we've all been there. We just kind of go through stuff. But I just want to help you to realize what that is. You're too full of yourself, or you're too full of the world. You're too full of carnality. If there's no room for any more spirituality, then get in there. So we got to empty that out. We got to believe and understand. We got to lay it aside. So we can continuously now abide in him and get on with this thing. There's things we need to lay aside in order to abide. Everything is safe in God. We're out of God. We're not abiding in him. We've stepped out, getting closer to sin. It's dangerous. That's not where we want to be. We want to be in him, abiding in him. That's the safe place. In verse 22, it goes on, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because sometimes, you know, people, there's so many Christians that they go to church and they hear the word and they think that they're just so pleasing to God and it's so great because they went to church and they heard the word. But yet they go out and they just live any way they want. He lives in us. He's holy. And therefore we're holy. He's made us holy. The Bible tells us that he's made us holy. Yeah, he's made us holy. But guess what? It doesn't end there. Now we are to walk holy. He's made me holy. Now it's my job to walk holy. How am I going to do that? By the help of the Holy Ghost. Everything I do, leaning on him. Praise God. There's a lot more we can say. I'm going to just close with this one right here. I love this scripture. Psalm 119 verse 115 in the NIV. Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. Isn't that good? Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. Sometimes that's just what you got to say. Away from me. I'm throwing you out. I'm not going to have anything to do with you on. Away from me. What does that mean? What does away from me mean? It's away. I can't reach it anymore. Away from me. And why is that? If those evildoers, if they stay close to me, I can't keep the commands of my God. See, because it's saying, away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. So if I'm saying, no, it's okay, stay near me, you evildoers, I will not be able to keep the commands of my God. Evil company corrupts good habits. Too many times, you know, Christians, they think like, you know, well, they need me. No, they don't. They need you to be you. They need you to be the Christian you're supposed to be. They need you to rise up and convict them of their wrongdoing. They don't need you to conform to their wrongdoing. They need you to convict them of it. And we can't be afraid of it. We got to be more afraid of God. Disobeying him. Displeasing him. Offending him. So our sanctification, it needs a determination. Like I said, it doesn't come easy. This isn't for the faint-hearted. But then again, Christians, we're really not made to be faint-hearted. If we've got him on the inside of us, the maker of heaven and earth, he's amazing. And he lives in you and me. We can so do this thing. We can more than do it. We can not only do it for ourselves, but we can affect the people around us and help get them to do it too. What you do doesn't just affect you. We think sometimes, oh, it's just, no, I don't want to. Or, oh, I really want to do that. I'm gonna. It doesn't just affect you. It's affecting the people that are around you too. Family, friends, whatever that is. And so we want to do the right thing. Amen. Praise God. Well, I believe we were helped tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Gene Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org or call 888-542-2555. You can hear more messages by Gene Fraser by going to her media page at genefraser.org. While you're there, you'll also find more information about Gene's bi-monthly Ladies Bible Studies and a Night in the Glory Ladies Meetings, as well as her annual You Glow Girl Ladies Conference. That website again is genefraser.org. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.